Well, there are fierce differences of opinion about the best way to give birth. Natural childbirth advocates criticise doctors for the high rate of medical intervention, and we have in this country one of the highest in the world. Doctors fire back that they provide the safest conditions for women and babies. A new study published overnight in the British Medical Journal may begin to build a bridge between the two. The study, which is Australian, found that a combination of complementary therapies can significantly reduce the need for medical intervention during childbirth. These therapies used, they included massage, yoga, acupressure, relaxation and breathing techniques. And in a moment, we'll meet two people who are involved in the study. Curious though, what do you make of this approach? Were you or are you fearful of the pain of childbirth? Have you used techniques for pain control and did you find them useful? Did you feel unprepared for childbirth? And we're also happy to hear from partners this morning. Did your partner employ these techniques to get through and did they work? 1300 225 576. 1300 call RN. Now, Hannah Dalen is one of the report's authors. She's the Professor of Midwifery in the School of Nursing and Midwifery at the University of Western Sydney. Welcome to Life Matters, Hannah.
Good morning.
Now, can you describe this study? 176 couples into Sydney hospitals. What were you measuring?
Yeah, I'd first like to acknowledge my wonderful PhD student, Kate Levitt, who actually undertook this study. And I was very honoured to co-supervise her with Caroline Smith and Alan Bensusan from the National Institute of Complementary Medicine. And when Kate first came to me with this study, I was a little sceptical because currently, you know, the randomised trials into childbirth education haven't shown an awful lot of benefit. But I've always kind of questioned whether or not we've perhaps lost our way in childbirth education. And so Kate developed this program, which is based on elements from a weekend birth preparation course, the evidence-based elements we took from SheBirth, and combined it with an acupressure for labour and birth protocol course. And we randomised 176 first-time mothers to having a two-day course or just standard child preparation courses. And I was absolutely stunned. I haven't seen results like this in any other intervention. But, you know, as you've rightly reported, a huge reduction in epidurals, a reduction, almost halving in caesarean. But also not just that. We found that women had shorter labours. We found that they were less likely to need their labours sped up. And we also found, really interestingly, women had less perineal trauma, but also babies were less likely to be resuscitated. And the women felt very, very prepared. They felt they had a lot less fear. They felt they had tools in order to be able to manage pain. And fascinatingly, and I think, you know, we've done the wrong thing with this, partners felt very engaged and they particularly liked having these tools such as acupressure to be able to help and support their partner in order to maximise outcomes.
Okay, so this is really one of the first times that this whole kind of approach has tried to be quantified like this. Now, tell us, you know, the actual 2 days that you're talking about, what kind of preparation were couples and mothers going through? What was the program? What does it involve?
So the program involved you know, relaxation techniques, as you said, massage, yoga, breathing techniques, but not just you need to do your breathing, actually showing them how to do breathing. And a very large component involved practicing acupressure points. And these are putting you know, pressure in different points on the woman's body that can help with things like relaxation or getting the labor to go faster. And in fact, when we surveyed, in fact, to find out what in the end, what parts of the program were most used, the acupressure points became the most used of women. So it also, though, critically involved talking to women and their partners about how amazing their bodies are, about the hormones involved in childbirth, about why it's important to turn your lights down, why it's important to get off the bed, why water helps to relax you, how we need to not use fearful language and we need to not talk to women. We need to protect them and keep things quiet and calm and nurturing. So what happened, I think, really, is that parents told us that initially they thought they were going to go into hospital and hand over to us, the experts. But what they learned in the course was actually, no, you can't do that. You need to be an active participant in your care, and you need to actually go in there with tools and motivation and understanding and work for your normal birth. And I actually think this is what's critically different to the way we teach childbirth education. So often we're the experts, we stand up the front and we say, right, this is what you need to do. And we've turned childbirth education into these sort of giant orientation programs to our hospital policies. But we haven't engaged the minds and the hearts of the couples to say, actually, don't hand over to us. Work with us in a partnership and become motivated and active. And the other thing we do, and we don't realize it, and we're well-meaning, but we generate a lot of fear by the things we talk about. So a critical part in this program was the reduction of fear. Women and their partners felt very confident about going into birth, and they felt much less frightened. And fear is a huge inhibitor of normal birth.
So it sounds like a combined approach between not just the people involved, the mother and father-to-be, but everybody along the line as well. That fear that you're talking about, is that fear of pain? Is that fear of losing control of the process? What kind of fear do you think people articulate to you?
Look, all of the above. You only have to go to a mother's group, and I'm sure women listening to this will verify it, to hear how many horror stories there are out there. You just have to be pregnant to have women come up and tell you they had 50 stitches and they screamed in pain for 3 days. So you just have to watch our childbirth shows, you know, one born every minute, etc., to see that childbirth has been painted as something to be survived and got through. And that's very sad, because childbirth can be enormously empowering. And, you know, for many women, childbirth is their opportunity to climb their own personal Everest, and we take that away.
So can you just clarify for me exactly how intensive this process is, the program? Is it like just 2 days? Is it like 2 days a week for a certain period? And at what point during the pregnancy does it begin?
Yeah, no, it was just a 2 days. It was a weekend course that was put on in decent business hours with decent breaks. And, you know, anywhere on from 28 weeks onwards, generally, that was when couples entered the course. So it's not highly intensive. It's no more intensive than other childbirth courses that you'd undertake.
We're talking with Hannah Dalen. She's a professor of midwifery at the School of Nursing and Midwifery at the University of Western Sydney, about this report, this study that's just been published about a different approach to childbirth. Let's head to the Gold Coast and hear from Rhiannon. Good morning. Good morning, Rhiannon.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you. Now, you had a water birth.
Yeah, home birth water birth.
Uh-huh, right. And did you employ any of these processes?
Yeah, I did. I actually did pregnancy yoga, but I think I really relate to, you know, the things that your specialist is talking about, is that, you know, I think prenatal care can actually be prenatal scare. And I had an amazing midwife who was just telling me, you know, stay calm, I know how to do this and all of that. So, you know, my only job was to stay calm, and my son's heart rate through the entire pregnancy and the birth was 144, like never skipped a beat. And I just felt so, you know, just so empowered to do it. It was the most amazing, amazing experience, and no complications, all good. Like, admittedly, she took very low-risk pregnancies. Like, she made sure people that went down that track were extremely healthy. But it was an amazing experience. And I feel like, you know, I was the cat that curled up in the corner, like your specialist said, dim lights and all of that, and allowed to do it in my own way without anyone interfering, saying, well, she's reached the 72 mark, mm-hmm. hour mark, this must happen. So I had a lot of freedom to just relax into it. So, and in the water, they say it takes away a lot of pain. It was amazing.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Rhiannon. I want to take what you've just said back to Hannah Dalen. Rhiannon's describing there a home birth and a water birth, and that is not actually what you did in this study at all. This was all based in hospitals.
It was all based in standard public hospitals. But we do know that, you know, what Rhiannon's talking about, we can bring a lot of those elements into our standard hospitals. We can dim lights. We can move the bed to the side and put the bags on it instead of the woman or the partner if he needs to sleep. We can put the beanbag and the mat on the floor. We can fill the bath up. We can put aromatherapy on. So we can create the nest. And what Rhiannon's talking about is this really important thing we now know, that the most powerful organ involved in childbirth is the brain. It's not the uterus. If we don't work well with the woman's brain and get her and her partner into that space, the uterus isn't actually not going to work. And we've lost that, I think, in modern maternity services where we dichotomize women into uteruses and pelvises and bits. Actually, we don't work enough with the brain. We don't work enough in reducing fear, and we don't work enough in helping partners and their women, the women and their partners, become empowered and feel like they can do this. There's an awful lot of going into birth feeling like, I have to survive it. Why should you? This is going to be one of the most amazing events of your life.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, as someone who's you know, does it as a professional, is in the profession yourself, that may well be the way that you view it. But what about all those people who actually are completely terrified and don't want to, well, you know, are fearful of the whole process and choose to opt out? Do you think, you know, that this is a, you know, it sort of raises the bar for the natural birth, or the hope that people will be able to have a natural birth, when in fact it doesn't always happen that way?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think we've got to be very careful to not, you know, make natural birth the aim, only aim. What we should be aiming for is an optimal birth, so the best birth for this woman that is possible in her situation. So if you have a woman with a high-risk pregnancy, then a completely natural birth without any intervention is not going to be the safest thing for her. Mm. But currently we have, unfortunately, a lot of our very low-risk women who often do want to have a normal birth, getting sort of pushed down this line of the cascade of intervention. And the epidural is often the beginning, and I'm very pro-epidural when there are problems, but epidurals, they reduce mobility, they increase malposition of the baby, you need a monitor on, you need a catheter in, you need syntocin, often goes up to make the labour stronger. That leads to more fetal distress, which leads to an instrumental birth like a forceps, which leads to an episiotomy and more severe trauma, and it keeps going. So it's not that the epidural is a problem, it's the fact that it alters labour dramatically. So if you don't need it, let's find other ways to get through it. And, you know, we published a study recently showing 5 years on, actually women who had epidurals were less satisfied than women who didn't. So epidural doesn't lead to more satisfaction. However, it's a very good option if things are not going straightforward.
Hannah Dalla, thank you for talking with us this morning.
My pleasure.
That's Professor Hannah Dalion. She's from the School of Nursing and Midwifery at Western Sydney University. In a moment, we're going to meet Nadine Richardson, who is the director of the Birthing Institute and the creator of the program that was used in this study. But first, let's hear from Andrew in Sydney. Andrew, your partner, and you and your partner did this course.
Yeah, we did Nadine's course that you're about to talk to for both our children, who are now lovely young boys, almost 5 and almost 3. And, you know, going into it, I was, you know, like I guess every potential father, fearful of the whole birthing process. It was terrifying. It was going to be bloody. There was going to be screaming. And what was I going to be able to do? I would just be the spare wheel in there, sort of going, oh, honey, I hope you're okay, while my wife's going through this incredibly intense experience. But going to Nadine and doing the course, you know, you quickly realise that it's knowledge that's power in this, and the more you know about the process and understand about different approaches and the reasons behind them, the more you come to understand the journey that you're potentially going to go on in the birth. And we particularly wanted to go down a natural path in a hospital, as opposed to your caller before who took a natural path at home. And for us, that was like the best of both worlds. We tried to be as natural as possible. It was going to be in the dark, in the water, you know, be able to move around and have all these other positions. But if there was ever a problem, you could knock on the door and a doctor would be there as well. So, you know, that seemed like a good balance. And the things that we learnt from Nadine about breathing and acupressure and relaxation really made a massive difference in our birth. I think we would have had a very, very different experience without that knowledge and practice.
All right. Okay. Well, it really obviously made a big difference for you and your partner. Thank you very much, Andrew. Let's hear from Elizabeth in Wamboyne in New South Wales. You had two completely different births.
Yeah, that's right. So I've kind of had both. I've had the experience of a completely medicalised birth, and it was very interesting listening to the description of the cascade of interventions, because that's exactly what I had in my first with birth, my 2-year-old. And that was necessary because I'm on blood thinning medication and I had to be induced early. But certainly my body just wasn't ready. And I think what needs to be understood, and you mentioned this, is that, you know, when it's necessary to be medical, it has to be medical. But then with the birth of my son 5 months ago, it was sort of, they were willing to just let it happen. And it was completely opposite. I had not a single intervention. It was just me walking around the room, using walking to sort of calm my nerves and let the adrenaline and everything do its work. And it was an extraordinarily different experience. I think, I'm very pro the idea that women be supported in whatever course they have to take and whatever path they take through this, because certainly there are different circumstances, and having had high-risk pregnancies that sort of led me down a particular path. But it was extraordinary, the difference, because I had to kind of conceptualise birth as this incredibly painful, incredibly traumatic thing, which it was in the first case, and then actually to be able to experience it being, you know, very gruelling, but just easy. You know, it worked. Everything worked.
Well, it sounds like each birth, I suppose, is different in its own way. But
But certainly, I think that just to sort of not necessarily use this study, which I think is really interesting, but not to lay further blame upon mothers who take either path, because I think there's just so much guilt. And, you know, my daughter was born by forceps in the end, and it was, you know, there were certain complications that arose. And I think we all just do our best, and we take the hand we're dealt, and if you end up with a happy baby at the end, then you've done the best you could possibly do.
Thank you very much for sharing that with us, Elizabeth. On Life Matters this morning, my name is Cassie McCullough, and we are talking about this report that's been published in the British Medical Journal about an Australian study of complementary therapies used in the antenatal environment, with a result on a small group, 167 couples were involved, 65% lower epidural rate and a 44% lower caesarean rate compared to women who were offered a standard course in these results that have just been published. Also with us, as we've been saying, is Nadine Richardson, who is the director of the Birthing Institute and a creator of the program. Good morning, Nadine.
Good morning, Cassie.
So tell us a bit about this program. When people come in, often, I guess, first-time parents, but not necessarily, what's the program involve? How do you ease people into it?
It is a 2-day program, as was done in the study, like Hannah explained. We are primarily there for first-time couples, but every course that I teach, I will generally have a second-time couple in there as well, who want to have a natural birth after a caesarean or have had a traumatic medicalized experience in their first birth. And so it's a 2-day intensive program where it's incredibly practical. Couples get to learn active birthing, yoga, massage, acupressure, breathing, all of these techniques, and it really allows couples to eliminate all of the fears you were alluding to before. You know, what are the fears? And of course, I think the biggest fear that we help couples overcome is that fear of pain. And then the other great fear that people are walking around and thinking, but maybe not speaking about, is the great fear of how will my partner behave in the room? And the partners are going, how am I going to manage supporting my partner when she's in pain? So we deal with that very much with all the practical experiences and tools we learn. We also help couples overcome the fear of tearing. We deal with that a lot. And the fourth one, I think that a lot more women are feeling now, is a great fear that Elizabeth alluded to, this great fear of how will I cope if I do need medical assistance? Because She Births is all about creating better births for couples, but it's very much about empowering women and couples to be involved in decision making so they understand why things went the way they did and they come out feeling proud. Nobody should come out of birth ever judging themselves for the experience that they've had. That's the whole basis of the program.
1300 225 576, 1300 call RN. We're taking your calls this morning on this approach to childbirth, which isn't necessarily new, but it has been sort of quantified for the first time. Let's hear now from Andrew Bitsitz. He's the Associate Professor and Director of Obstetrics at the Royal Women's Hospital in Sydney Hospital for Women. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Now, what, from your point of view, what do you make of this approach? Obviously, you've seen the full range of the dream birth to the one that really, you know, has gone horribly wrong.
I certainly have, and I'm doing that exactly this morning, all right? We're in the thick of it this morning, so...
Oh, wait, we're going to hold you up, but yes.
I'm just a bit of drama there, you know. I was quite amazed by these results because... I've been poring over various studies over the years to see how we can, you know, keep the rates of intervention in childbirth at a sensible minimum, all right? Currently, we're overdoing it. And, I've been racking my brains every day, you know, for many years now. Over the question of why can't we make a difference? Because most of the things... don't make a huge difference. There are a few things, but this is the most amazing result I've seen for ages. And what makes it more amazing is that, they were working with what I'd call a harder group in that, they represented probably the average age of first-time mothers, which is about 30. And then they were dealing with first-time mothers. Now, the combination of those two things, first-time mother and then a woman who's not 20, she's more likely 30, 32, you know, that all of that makes the work around labour a bit more difficult. And that's part of the reason that we're doing so many interventions is that compared to a previous era, say the baby boomers era, when, you know, you would have had a lot more women who've had previous children, these days we're dealing with a lot more women who are having their first babies, and that's always harder work. So the fact that they achieved this in this group, I think, is amazing, right? Mm. And, the fascinating questions are, what are the key things that made a difference? I think it's very relevant, you know, that they had a much lower epidural rate, and then that was clearly associated with a higher normal birth rate. So,
I be devil's advocate there? Because I think that the people who are allowed to participate in this were judged low risk from the outcome. Mm. They weren't. They all had to be, I think you'll know the term, like head pointing down, I think. Cephalic presentation, I think it's what it's called.
Yeah.
And also... they seemed to, well, they had to have a good command of English,
which
would mean, so you've already kind of eliminated a whole lot of people from that program. Would they be likely to have a better outcome just naturally anyway?
Look, overall, probably yes, but it's still surprising how often they end up with some sort of intervention. That's the thing that, I've always racked my brains over in that, the very group who are healthy, well-resourced, have got most things going for them. We seem to end up doing so many things to them.
Because their expectations are higher or the doctor might be responding to demands for intervention? Or
I think it's a whole lot of things. It's all the things that you've heard from Hannah and Nadine and all the things that you see out in the media. But, it is disappointing often to see how often we, with the best of intentions, we end up, doing something or other to these women. So I think it, the criticism of these smaller studies, particularly in something like this, is that, this is a very special group and that it doesn't apply to everyone. That might be the case, but still, this group actually is, to a certain extent, is representative of a large group of women where I think, we are doing a lot of intervention, as I said, with the best of intentions, but I've always thought that, we can do better, and here...
You would know this better than anyone, that there is this tension between the obstetric community and the midwifery community. How likely are we to see this approach being accepted, adopted, promoted within our hospital system on a really sort of broad scale way?
Well, look, I can tell you now that one study is not going to shift people immediately. I think it will be carefully considered. But what this invites, and that's what the paper says, is that you have to, you know, look at the application of this in other settings, not necessarily in a formal trial, but just see what impact it has. And that's where it will start, you know, making a bigger impact. But the main point of it is now is that you simply can't ignore this. And, you know, given the challenges surrounding, the specific challenges surrounding childbirth these days, it demands a lot of attention and warrants further evaluation.
Okay. Look, thank you very much for talking with us this morning, Andrew, and please, you know, return to the ongoing emergencies.
I'll let you know when I'm needed. Okay.
That's Andrew Bissetts. He's the associate professor and director of obstetrics at the Royal Hospital for Women. And on Life Matters, we are talking about a report into changing, a study of alternative therapy in the lead up to birth, which has had some positive outcomes for a small group in this study, but very fascinating results. And we're taking your calls. And also with us is Nadine Richardson, who is the director of the Birthing Institute and one of the people who is involved in the program. Nadine, a question has come in on our text line saying, if you are obese, do you need to get down to normal weight to be able to take part in this kind of program?
Absolutely not. No, you definitely don't need to change your weight to find the tools that are going to help you manage pain during labour and that are going to give your partner tools to be able to support you, not just practically, but actually advocate for you within the system. It is that engagement in decision making throughout the perinatal period. It's not just on the labour day. There's many questions and crossroads couples have to face in the lead up to labour sometimes and even postpartum. And when you've got the right principles and techniques and you're on the same page together, then you and your partner can work as a team. So we can manage high risk. I teach high risk couples every day the She Births program with profound results.
Okay, so well, let's hear from you. Beth in Brisbane has given us a call. Beth, you've been listening to this. You've had three babies: a cesarean, an epidural, and a hypnobirthing. Tell us what's your thoughts on this.
Yeah, look, hi. It's certainly I'm no expert on childbirth, but having had three different means. I had the Caesar because of a footling breach as he was coming feet first. So that was my first baby, and I think all the first mums out there, you think, given all the information about natural birth, and then when it comes down to having a Caesar, it's a truly devastating situation. However, after the third, I realised now that actually a safe baby and a safe mum is the best outcome. And however means that you can get to that point, it's like a wedding compared to the marriage. And however you can get there safely with safe bub and safe mum, that's the best course. My second baby, I was still fixed on this natural birth, so I was able to do a VBAC, which is a vaginal birth after caesarean. He was 2 years after my first, so I was allowed to do that. And I had a 24-hour birth, I had bladder issues, I had tearing, I had lots of things that are still wreaking havoc on my body still today. So come my third baby, he was safely delivered. He was 9 pounds 9, so quite a big baby, and also posterior, so he caused quite a bit of issues. No drugs for that, but in hindsight, I wish I had, really, because my third baby was 9 pounds 12. I had an epidural as soon as I came into hospital, and I was much more relaxed. I'd been doing hypnobirthing since 7 months pregnancy. I have a neighbour who is a hypnobirther, but being a scientist myself, I wasn't convinced hypnobirthing was for me until I realised, and she came over and did some sessions with me. Just as the callers and the experts have been saying today, fear really is an inhibitor. And I realised that with my second traumatic birth, I had a lot of fear that I needed to get over, and the hypnobirthing was just perfect. So lead up to the birth, I was calm. I'd been listening to relaxation CDs, which were fantastic, and I came to the third birth. Either way, I didn't mind. If the pain was able to be coped with, that was fine. I had my waters breaking and the pain just set in straight away. She was also posterior birth, so her back was against my back.
You've done quite a lot of field research, Beth.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you for that. So an epidural, not something to rule out at all there. Nadine Richardson, I've actually been reading this article over that was published in the New York Times over the weekend called Get the Epidural. It's by a woman called Jessie Klein, who is one of the head writers for Inside Amy Schumer, the comedy show. She's also a stand-up comedian. And she talked about being approached by people when she was pregnant and asking them about, asking her, feeling allowed to ask her about her plans for a natural birth. She says, get the epidural and, quote, no one ever asks a man if he's having a natural root canal. No one ever asks a man if he's having a natural vasectomy. Me. What, the emphasis on natural birth is a bit of a sort of cultural moment in some way, some people say. What do you think about that? You know, that there is this pressure that there's this internet culture of, you know, it's kind of everything's okay, give it a go, that you know, it's all goodness and light. In fact, many people could just overcome these fears if they...
Oh, look, possibly they could. I don't think people are choosing epidural just because they're afraid of birth. I think when couples are informed and they've been given a lot of natural pain relief techniques, they get to choose the epidural when there's a complication, when there's a longer labour, malpositioned baby and so on. And what I find in she births is that my couples choose that epidural and work with it well, and they don't necessarily end up with complications or a cesarean section and so on. So I find that an epidural birth can be a really beautiful experience. It can allow a woman to rest and it can allow a baby to descend. And choosing through conscious involvement and giving labour a go tends to lead to a better degree of birth satisfaction. But it's very much up to the couple and what they feel is right and manageable for them, as well as working with caregivers and what they believe is the safest process for the mother and child.
There are a range of different programs. I know that you have this very specific one and you know, it has a name, She Births, but there are many, many courses like this.
Well, there is no course quite like She Births. There's nothing as comprehensive as She Births. And there's no course out there that's actually been created by a doula. I've been a trained labour assistant for many years, and that's really where the program arose from. As a labour assistant, of course, we're not the caregiver in the room, but we are the person who's in the room for the longest. And I spent 10, 15, 20 hours with many couples throughout their labours. And that's where I really discovered what works. That's where I saw that movement and fit balls and yoga, as well as acupressure and breathing and calming and hypnotic work, you need the array of tools to draw upon. Most of my couples who prepare with us use absolutely every single tool throughout the whole of their labour, but every woman finds the one that works best for her, that she says, oh, it was the active birthing that got me over the line. It was the spiraling. It was the bilateral hip squeeze with the hot nappies on the back.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yeah. Well, look, I think what we have here is a whole lot of old wisdom as well as a lot of new research. Everybody has a different approach and has a different experience and has different thinking about it, but this does seem to be very promising for a lot of people. Thank you very much for talking with us about it this morning, Nadine.
Thanks, Cassie.
That's Nadine Richardson. She's the director of the Birthing Institute and was part of this research, which really has shown that some of these alternative therapies used in combination before birth can have a big impact on outcomes. It's early days yet, and as Andrew Bissetts from the Royal Sydney Hospital said, it's just one of many, but you know, perhaps there's a lot of promise in it. We'll put links to a lot of this material, in particular the British Medical Journal report, on the Life Matters program page. My name's Cassie McCullough. Coming up, we're going to have a very familiar voice, a very familiar face in lounge rooms across Australia.